Gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. They each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing.
Gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
That's old Cindy Lou going with me.
Gone fishing. Fleas are biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boys. You bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing.
Bapa, baby, bapa, bapa, bapa.
Oh, yeah.
That means it's time for our early bird fishing guide, Jeff Sundin, along with Heidi Holton. Good morning, you two.
Good morning. Good to see your face, Jeff. We need you to unmute the the great thing, of course, of our new life in the world, right?
I'll write him a note here.
Thursday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Jeff Sundin. He is our early bird fishing guide, and we are... Can't read your sign there, John. He didn't even hold it to the camera. There we go. We're going to check in with him about ice fishing, of course. Morning, Jeff. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
By the sounds of things at my house, there are so many people out on the lakes, whether it's on snowmobiles, you see vehicles out there now. What are you seeing on the lakes?
It was just a couple of days ago that all heck broke loose on the ice. The local people in the area have figured out now that the ice is thick enough to support vehicle traffic. So I happen to be with a friend of mine who had been sort of enjoying peace and quiet, and he had a nice little spot all figured out, and he'd take the snowmobile out to his house and fish for a couple hours every evening and kind of be left alone. Well, I was out there with him a couple days ago, and the whole world was on the ice along with us. They kind of pick up trucks and snowmobiles and four-wheelers and every kind of thing that you can imagine. Everybody's getting around. Now, you can't do that on every single lake. The deeper lakes, the ones that have got, really thin ice still out in the center sections, you got to be careful with some of those. But a lot of the lakes in our area that have max depths of maybe 30 feet, 25 feet, those have been frozen now for at least a month, and they're starting to be 14, 15 inches of ice. Winnie, for example, as of today, every resort that plows roads on Winnie will be open for vehicle traffic. And a couple of them have been open already for a couple of weeks. So it's we're at the time where if you want to get out and do something and you don't have all the gear, if you're not a snowmobiler and you don't have a big four-wheeler or what have you, you can get out there now and do pretty much anything you want. Until or if we get a bunch of snow, the conditions on the ice are about as good as they really ever get. We got 3 to 5 inches of snow, depending on where you go. The odd snow drift that'll slow you down, but if you're careful and you steer around them, you can go just about any place you want to go right now. So all of the stories about slush and how hard it was to get around last winter, just reverse that 180 degrees, and we've got the complete opposite story going on right now.
Well, and it's good people are out fishing and they're outside, you know, we're in these strange times, but too many people out there and people not treating the lake like a piece of nature is not good either. So, you know, keep it clean. Don't leave your junk out there, too. We gotta
Jeff.
Be safe.
Hey, Jeff, is it legal?
Some stew. Go ahead.
Is it legal to start a fire on a lake?
I think if you have it contained, if you clean up after yourself, I think you can pretty much, you can do cooking and that kind of thing. And if you want to stay warm, in the old days, before we had all these really deluxe heaters that we've got now, we used to take a 5 gallon, when the 5 gallon pails used to be metal, instead of plastic. And we would just make a half a bag of charcoal and let that burn, and we'd just kind of gather around that to warm up occasionally. And you take the bucket back with you and all of your used up charcoal. So that was never a problem. I wouldn't really suggest going out with a pile of firewood and building a fire right on the ice. For one thing, as soon as it starts to melt a little bit, your fire is going to go out.
Yeah.
So, and from another point of view, just leaving anything like that debris around, for me personally, I prefer to go out on a snowmobile rather than to drive in a vehicle. And any little lump or bump that's hidden under the snow that you don't see, I mean, for one person, it's no big deal. But for somebody else that's zipping along with a snowmobile and a fish house behind them and things like that, you hit the wrong thing and it can be a big problem. So I sort of favor not leaving anything on the ice. And you hear stories every year, and I'm sure it's going to be the same this year. We're going to see some kind of picture about somebody that just left a monumental pile of trash behind or burned up their fish house or whatever. I know that's out there, but 95% of the places that we go and the people that we see fishing, most folks don't do that. Most folks are really responsible and pick up after not only themselves, but other people too that have been out there. You know, if we see something laying on the ice, we pick it up and throw it in a bag and take it out with us. So, you know, it's the behavior should be encouraged to pack all of your stuff out that you brought in with you. But I don't think we should overdo this idea that everybody that goes out there is making a mess.
So, Jeff, with the pandemic going on, and we've talked in the past about not enough kids fishing, replenishing the kids. I know several kids that are actually addicted to ice fishing now because they have, you know, they're sick of being in the house, being homeschooled, and learning from home. I mean, and then when they get a chance, they get out and they fish. Are you noticing that at all?
Absolutely. There's more families out there than ever before. In fact, you know, it's the middle of the week. We were out on Tuesday, and there was people with kids out on the ice Tuesday, and little kids. So yeah, they're getting out. They've got the free time. And we talked about that too, with now everybody working from home. It's hard to calculate, but how many people go into their ice castle, fire up the heater, turn on their laptop, and work while they're watching their tip up? You know, I could do that if I want to. You know, I'm talking to you on a portable computer right now that goes any place I go, and you could sit right out on the middle of the ice and turn on your hotspot, and off you go. So, yeah, and we're seeing all forms of that. And it's one of the things that I wrote about midsummer last summer. One of the positives that's come out of this is that it has brought people back together as families, doing things that they really weren't doing for a long time. You know, there was a good long stretch where the kids were on their own playing video games or doing whatever they do while the parents were off doing whatever they do. Well, now everybody's together and everybody knows that you're better off outside than inside. And so doing it together. And it's been a big deal. It's been something that I've been seeing all throughout the entire year. And I don't see any reason to think that it's going to not continue.
You know, the Star Tribune wrote about this, the positives to come out of the pandemic last Sunday. And one of the things was that they hope the trends in the future will stay, that, you know, families are actually eating meals together now. They're cooking meals together now in a way that people just didn't before.
Right.
So what's going on in Mille Lacs, Jeff? Is it picking up?
It finally, it's got a little head of steam rolling now. The ice just got thick. They're not driving vehicles down there, but you can get around on let me check what I just said. They're driving vehicles a little bit. Some of the shoreline territory where it's shallow water and it's been frozen up a little bit longer, driving along the 169 side of the lake. We did see a few pickup trucks out there last weekend, but for the most part, everybody is avoiding the middle structure. They're staying just on the shoreline. And if you want to venture off into the humps and the bars that are out in the center of the lake, they're still using four-wheelers and snowmobiles for that. And it's really, according to what I'm seeing, I've got quite a few friends that fish Mille Lacs, come over from the Aiken and Brainerd areas and that. And they're catching some really nice fish down there right now. And you're allowed, hold on a second here. Got to get rid of my phone. This is usually I'm on it when I'm talking to you. anyway, the folks that are fishing Mille Lacs right now are catching some really big. I see a lot of big walleyes coming in, and I see a lot of big northerns coming in. And for the winter season, you're allowed to have one fish. I didn't check before we went on. The slot is something like 21 to 23 inches. You can keep one fish in between a real narrow 2-inch slot limit. And of course that's posted at the landings and you can find that very easily. Anymore, what I do is use the recreation compass on the DNR website, and the map comes up and you just click on the map and it gives you all of the information that you want to know about that lake. So while you're sitting out on the lake fishing, just grab your phone, check into that recreation compass, click on the lake, and up pops all the information, including special regulations.
Before we go, in about an hour, we'll be finding out what's going on in the Minnesota legislature right now. You were checking in with one of our area legislators last night having to do with fishing. Tell us what's going on in terms of walleye.
Well, the walleye bag limit has been in discussion for 3 or 4 years now. And I talked to Senator Rood last night, and she's going to be introducing legislation today. It'll have a bill number sometime around noon for a statewide reduction in the walleye bag limit from 6 fish to 4 fish. And I didn't realize that. I knew that there had been a lot of discussion about it already. I didn't realize that she actually already introduced that legislation last year, but there was no co-sponsors, and without anybody else signed on to it, it didn't go very far. She said it died a pretty fast death last year, but it's got a little head of steam going this year. And one of the things that she said that was interesting about it, in the past, the discussion has been sort of a social type issue. If you believe in reducing the bag limit because you think it's going to help the walleye population, in reality, a 4-fish limit won't really change the overall harvest that much. But an interesting twist to it now, and also going back to our current global situation, is that with all of the extra people fishing and a bumper crop of walleye fishing out there, now maybe she's thinking is the time to do this, not so much as a social issue anymore, but now just because if you've got that many more people fishing, it might be a good idea to trim back how many fish each person is harvesting. And can argue the details of it later on. But for now, I think the public support for this thing last year, I ran a little poll on my website, and the public support was pretty amazing. It was way more than I expected to see. It was pushing 80% of the people favored it. And so whether you favor it or you don't favor it, I think the handwriting's on the wall. It's going to happen one of these days. If it doesn't happen this time, next year, or whatever. But I would say we should start planning for a 4-fish statewide limit pretty soon.
So what's going on this? What's going on this weekend?
Well, I think this weekend we got a big deal planned out. Our whole family is going to go up, and we rented a fish house on Winnie, and the fishing has been pretty good. They had just a bang up weekend out there last week, and we're going to go give that a try ourselves. We rented a fish house to use as our kind of headquarters, and then we're going to venture out from there on snow machines and look for the better fishing spots that way. So that lake has been on fire. A lot of the small lakes, the pan fishing has been good. I'm seeing lots and lots of folks fishing crappies. If you do get into a bunch of traffic and you're a traditional find the deep hole and look for the crappies, you know, in the deepest water of the lake, think twice about that now, because on a lot of these pressured lakes, those fish are moving up onto the flats at about 2 or 3 feet shallower than the deepest water in the lake. If your deep hole is 30 feet, for example, start your search in 25, 26, and maybe up as shallow as 20, and watch for those flat areas out around the edges, because the fish are moving all the time. The hole hoppers, especially the younger anglers that like to find fish by drilling the entire surface of the lake open and then walking from hole to hole to hole to see if they can find the fish, that's keeping a lot of stuff on the move. And the smart, it's kind of like deer hunting right now. The smart thing to do is sit in your stand and be quiet and let everybody else push the fish to you.
Well, have a great time, Jeff. Good to check in with you. You can read Jeff's fishing reports at his website. It's jeffsundin.com. Here, fishy, fishy, fishy. You can see your sign there.
I see that. That's pretty good.
We'll be seeing you.
All right. See you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.